And good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly, the drive time edition of Lambda Weekly, the world's longest running gay and lesbian radio show for the whole family. I'm David Taffet and I am here in the studio with Patty Fink and Lauren Landis. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today's show is a news roundup, so we're just starting with several stories, and I want to start with your little story, Lauren, because it is 7 in the morning, and to start with serious news.
You know, serious news.
They do that on other stations. You start with the serious stuff and then get into...
Well, you know, I was going to put this in my entertainment report, which you'll hear later, but I thought, you know what? I've done this story several times, but it's still interesting nonetheless. And that is a children's book. Again, a children's book called Entango Mix 3 about two male penguins who raise a baby from...
At the Central Park Zoo.
At the Central Park Zoo. A true story, as a matter of fact. And David was so kind and got this for my daughter, Gabrielle, when she was born, and she loves the book now. Anyway, the book has made it topped the list again. It's the number one banned book in America.
You know, I find that amazing. I love this little book. For anybody who doesn't know the story, it's about these two male penguins who made a nest for themselves at the Central Park Zoo, and they actually raised an egg because there was an egg that was abandoned by
its
mother, and so they raised this egg, and the chick was born, and they raised the baby.
They raised the baby.
Penguin.
It's me and Danny.
It is you and Danny.
And it's funny because they have a little girl.
And they have a little
They
girl,
have a little
right.
girl.
Right. And so when Lauren had Gabrielle a couple of years ago, I had to get this book for them. So I went to the local Borders in Oak Lawn. They didn't have it. And I couldn't believe it. They have a huge children's section. Now, if you're going to do a bookstore in Oak Lawn, you need to have a children's section that has books for the gay kids.
Exactly.
They ordered it for me, and they got it for me, but I couldn't believe they didn't have it.
Yeah.
Now, did you guys see the recent episode of Modern Family?
Which one?
Writing a book for their little girl, and they have a fight in the midst. And
no.
They go, they said, you know, what a market. This is such a great market. And they go to their local bookstore, and they find section after section after section of books for gay parents, you know, and their little storybook that they had written had, you know, no competition. No, tons of competition.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and the other one that I got her, which I love also, is Heather Has Two Moms.
Yeah, you did get that also, but for some, I'm surprised that one didn't make it to, it didn't make the list.
That was the number one for years.
For years? Okay.
Yeah, and for some reason, this one just annoys people more.
Because the Heather Has Two Mommies book is much more direct. I mean, it's to women who have a daughter. But, you know, these are animals.
These are penguins.
These are penguins. It's kind of innocuous and, you know, like, what's the big deal? So, but yeah, it is a true story.
Right. And, you know, for those of our listeners who don't know, you and Danny had a baby 2 years ago.
2 years ago,
and,
little girl.
So she's in her terrible twos right now.
Very much so.
And for the first year, it was like Danny was...
No.
Yes.
But for the first 2 years, Lauren would come in and, you know, how's the baby? Oh, she's fine. She's a great little baby. Oh, no, she never cries. She never makes a peep. You bring her to the studio.
Yes.
She'd just be nice and happy. Well, it took 2 years.
And now he's tired.
I'm so tired.
Let's go from that into some harder news.
Hardcore news.
This one is just an interesting study. It was released this week by UCLA. About 9 million people in the United States identify themselves as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. That estimate translates to about 3.5% of adults who identify as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, and about 0.3% of adults who identify as transgender. Do those numbers surprise you?
Yes.
I think the key words here are identified as, self-identified as.
Yeah, absolutely, because how can you really count everyone? And again, this is just adults. What about teenagers who already know that they are G, L, or B, or T?
Well, here's the problem. As long as there is discrimination against gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people in the United States, there will be a vast majority of them who do not come out to in important places in their lives, to their families, in their workplace, in their communities, to their neighbors. and you think they're going to tell a pollster?
Exactly.
And one of the things, one of the statements that's on this poll, it says, any estimate of the population is difficult because there are insufficient and inconsistent national surveys. So they do give that caveat. Now, the numbers are broken down further, and this is where I think it's even more interesting. Bisexual is 1.8% of the adult population. Gay or lesbian, 1.7% of the population. The two together makes the 3.5.
Right.
Okay, now.
But wait a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's probably not a statistical difference, but there are allegedly more bisexual people than there are gay and lesbian.
Exactly.
People.
Well,
interesting. Because there are people who are truly bisexual, but in other ways, I think bisexuality is, or has been in the past, a gateway orientation.
Absolutely. I
mean,
totally
Billie
agree.
Billie Jean King and Elton John were bisexual.
They were bisexual.
They were
gay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's not to say that there's anything bisexual, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, no, not at all. And I have great bisexual friends but who are truly, bisexual.
Right.
I just think it's interesting that.
Right, but many people.
That's usually part of their journey.
Right.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
For a lot of people.
Who are raised to be heterosexual because that's the norm. And so, I understand the norm, and now I need to.
And norm in a bell curve sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, right. And I understand the norm. And so, I've gone out with somebody of the opposite sex. We liked each other. But I'm more attracted to people of the same sex. So maybe I'm bisexual, and that's a normal way to come out.
And sometimes people are barsexual.
What is barsexual?
When you're out at the bar and you're and women trying to attract their boyfriends.
Gotcha.
And
I like that. I mean, when I was first coming out, I came out as bisexual because it was more appealing to, my straight counterparts, especially guys. Oh, but you do still like chicks, right? Yeah. Okay, well, that's fine. But just to tell them that you're totally gay, ooh.
See, gateway oriented.
There you go.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And it might be easier for a lot of people talking to a researcher to say, oh, well, but I'm bisexual.
Right.
Right.
And then there might be some people in here who are actually married who are actually admitting who they are. Because while 1.8% of the adult population is saying that they're bisexual and 1.7% of the population is saying in surveys to a researcher that they are gay or lesbian, Americans reported in this survey, Americans who reported participating in same-sex sexual activity, it goes up to 8.2%. So that means that above this 3.5%, you have another 5% of the population who are saying, oh, you mean same-sex sexual activity? Yeah, sure, I've done that.
But I'm not gay or bi.
But I'm not gay, yeah.
Anything.
Now, yeah. That's where it gets interesting.
I was drunk.
And then 11% total, 11% held some same-sex sexual attraction.
Attraction.
So, well, yeah, I actually am attracted to people of the same sex, but I've never done anything about it.
Right.
So it goes up to 11%.
I think trying to guess how many gay GLBT folk are in this country, you're never going to get an accurate number because...
Unless you just ask the question like on the census.
Yes, that's what I was getting to. We don't have a physical visibility. That's what separates us from other minority groups. We need to start asking unemployment forms, census, medical...
I don't think we need to ask it on unemployment forms since we fought forever to get it off the military one.
Well, I'm mixed about that. I'm mixed about that. I think if we're really going to say that we're a minority and should be treated like other minority groups, it does ask what your race is. Why can't we ask what your sexual orientation is?
I
don't know if I'm totally for that. I'm a little mixed about it.
Not a workplace application. I mean, if you can ask things in census forms like religion and that sort of thing too that you can't ask in the workplace.
That's true.
I think workplace should not have.
What about medical forms?
It's more of a census driving kind of thing. What?
What about medical forms?
That might be very relevant.
Yeah.
And relevant why?
Because I think the health issues for lesbians and gay men and transgender people who are pre-op, post-op, non-op.
Right.
Those can be serious issues.
That's true.
That would be relevant information. And we know that healthcare for the GLBT community is under, orientation and gender identity is underreported mm-hmm. to healthcare providers because it's again, it's about coming out in trust. It's coming out to your physician. Is this going to be somebody who's going to, you know, not tell me about something or not do a test or treat me irresponsibly
right.
because
okay, it's fess up time. Are you honest with your physician about?
My physician is a lesbian.
Okay, and
and so, we're very out, yeah. Okay.
My physician is gay, so yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, because you live all the way out where? In, like, Oklahoma?
Close to it. And my physician is even further north than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, I have a gay doctor. I never realized that all three of us went to gay or lesbian doctors.
Mm-hmm. But that's one reason that a lot of screening efforts are very difficult in the GLBT community because to get people to come forward and talk mm-hmm. about, you know, even simple things like STDs, but
right.
even other issues. You know, when women talk about breast cancer and, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, it's they're hesitant to be fully honest with their physicians mm-hmm. because they're afraid of being discriminated against in their health care.
Okay, is that new that you have a gay doc?
No, I've had him for almost 5 years now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm wondering just because, what about Gabrielle's doctor? Same doctor or a
pediatrician? No. She goes to the pediatrician.
A straight one?
Yeah.
And she knows that you and Danny are the gay dads?
She knows. I'm sorry. He knows, yes. And they couldn't be more accepting and loving when, you know, we had to go shop around. Well, you're supposed to, and we did. You're supposed to go shop around even before your baby's born and interview different pediatricians. So we interviewed three, and this one that we found was just from get-go. You know, welcome, came out and embraced me and Danny from immediately. So just very, very nice place.
Okay, and with your health care, mm-hmm. You probably didn't have to come out to her, but have you discussed specific?
And she says, like, I read that story about you in The Voice. I saw your quote in The Voice. It's kind of hard to get away from it. But,
right.
Well,
but have you discussed specific lesbian health issues with her that you feel like, oh, you know, this is one time I'm glad I'm going to her because she did mention.
I don't know that I have because I've been out from the get-go in going to her, and I've been out with other doctors in the past.
And
you know, and Aaron and I have had occasion now, right after Christmas, in fact, this year. We both came away from Christmas incredibly ill.
Yeah, you guys were pretty sick.
Yeah, we were really sick. And we came back from Louisiana from visiting Aaron's parents, and we both were sitting on the exam table. She walked in the room. That was a first.
That's awful.
For both of us to be there.
But I guess I'm asking things like breast cancer screening because lesbians have a higher incidence of breast cancer. Things like that. Has she been more careful to make sure that you get that kind of thing? Or you're just thinking, well, that's why I go to her. And
well, I think she's very thorough, so it's hard for me to tell.
What about you? Have you noticed anything different?
Yes.
What?
Okay, now, I just am more comfortable. My primary care physician is gay. My dentist is gay. And when I had a problem with my eye, I had a torn retina in December, and I didn't know what was going on. I was having trouble seeing in one eye for just stuff in front of my eye, and what that turns out to be is blood in the retina that's just kind of blocking, that makes blotches. Mm-hmm. So I called three different optometrists that I know who all happen to be gay, and I went to the one that could see me immediately. Mm-hmm. One was out of town, the other one just couldn't see me till the next day. One could see me, I went to him. So I went to him, and he referred me to a doctor to operate immediately. It was a laser operation done real easily, who is not gay, but I just felt comfortable that my gay optometrist referred me. So I was comfortable with that. But the one bad time I had, I don't know if you remember, I was having, when I first was diagnosed with allergies, mm-hmm. I was going in, I was having all the HIV symptoms. I was night sweats and high fevers, fever spikes, just all kinds of losing weight. And so he tested me for HIV, tested me for hepatitis. Finally, he looked in my ears, my eyes, and he said, oh, you have allergies. So by going to a gay doc, he's immediately thinking one thing when another doctor...
That's the only difference that I could tell with my previous doctors whenever I got a physical. they would not do an HIV test as part of the physical. You'd have to ask for it. And with this doctor, he just does one automatically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting, too, when Aaron and I first got together, one of the first events that occurred in our relationship was mm-hmm. that she had knee surgery. And, you know, we were like, well, what's going to happen here? Absolutely wonderful experience. They were very informative. They included me in everything and let me know, like I would be any other spouse right. of a patient. They contacted me at every step, let me know she was doing okay in surgery. The doctor came out and explained exactly what he did to her knee and, you know, showed me pictures and everything.
Good.
And they
good.
Brought me into the recovery room, you know, and all of that. And I had surgery in September, and Aaron had, you know, just came right in. And then she had another surgery several years ago at Baylor, and another wonderful experience. So maybe we've just been lucky, but at the same time, I would hope that that's everyone's experience.
Yeah, and maybe we need to share more stories like that when we hear them.
You know, and under the new presidential executive order, mm-hmm. it's supposed to work.
It's supposed to work
right.
that way.
So. Well, I think another study, I'm going to bring this in maybe next week, another study out there is that the American perception in society of how many people are GLBT mm-hmm. is much, much higher than a study like this.
Yes.
Most Americans, most Americans believe that 20 to 25% of the population is gay.
Do you think that has a lot to do or anything to do with our increasing visibility?
Oh, I'm sure it does.
You know, we're on TV everywhere.
But if you take an average person and they look through their lives and they see how many gay people they mm-hmm. encounter during the day or know as friends or maybe family members, you know, I'm sure all of that influences them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what this study really comes out with is it's starting with that low number, 3.5. That's 3.5% who just say, yes, I'm gay. There's no equivocation. But it's 11% when it's, yeah, I have some same-sex sexual attraction. That's gay.
Far more so than this behavior stuff.
Right, right. You know, so. You know,
behavior really has nothing to do with one's sexual orientation.
No, it doesn't.
Exactly. One little quick story before we take our break. Senator Alan Simpson, he was a Republican from Wyoming, and he served from 1979 to 1997. And here's a perfect example of how politics has changed and polarized over the last 15 years since he left the Senate. He said, we have homophobes in our party. And
speaking of the Republican Party.
Right.
Yes.
And he said, and that's disgusting to me. He said, we're all human beings. We're all God's children. And he attacked specifically former senator from Pennsylvania, Rick Santorum.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly running for president for saying cruel things about LGBT people. And he also suggested that male legislators should not even vote on deeply intimate and personal decisions that women have on reproductive rights, which I find interesting. But Wyoming has traditionally been the leave-me-alone state that it's, you know.
And recently totally pushed back on an effort to ban marriage. And
for Ian, now.
Well,
for now. Yeah.
In the state that has the highest percentage of Republicans in their legislature.
It's the reddest state.
It is the reddest state.
Really? I didn't know that.
And what's interesting is, of the, I think there are three Democrats in their Senate, one of them is a lesbian. So I think that's an interesting little
Wyoming.
That's right. The first state to allow women to vote. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. We'll be back with more right after this.
Coming Saturday, April 30th, KNON helps celebrate 100 years of the Sons of Herman Hall with a very special show starring the Kildares. It's Weird Warren of KNON's Sonic Burrito Show, and I'll be presenting the Kildares, not just a band, an experience. The Kildares have created a fresh new sound that's instantly recognizable and always engaging. Their live show shows are filled with an infectious energy so powerful you can't help but embrace the band's modern Celtic rock sound. As seen every year at the State Fair of Texas, the Kildare's incredible stage presence is absolutely amazing. Advance tickets available now at KNON.org, Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, and Bill's Records in Dallas. The Sons of Herman Hall, located at 3414 Elm Street at Exposition in Dallas. For more information, KNON.org. The Kildare's, Saturday, April 30th, celebrating 100 years of the finest historic music venue in Dallas. The Sons of Herman Hall. This event is a benefit for KNON Radio.
If your garage is getting a little cramped for space, upsize it by moving out that old car you don't need anymore. The KNON Vehicle Donation Program is here to take your old car, truck, or motorcycle that's cluttering your garage. Just call 877-KNON-AUTO or go online at KNON.org to make your donation. Our representative will come out, pick up your vehicle, and leave you with a cleaner garage. They'll handle the paperwork, and most importantly, your donation will go to support great community radio. The number to call is 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at knon.org.
The 34th Annual Dallas International Guitar Show is coming April 15th, 16th, and 17th to the Dallas Market Hall on Stemmons Freeway and Market Center Boulevard in Dallas. The guitar show features vintage and rare guitars, banjos, mandolins, basses, amps, accessories, and more. There will be live music on three stages by Rhett Butler, Rick Derringer, Red Volkart, Point Blank, George Lynch, Andy Timmons, School of Rock, New Bohemians, and more. KNON will have a booth this year. For more information, GuitarShow.com. That's the 34th Annual Dallas International Guitar Show, April 15th, 16th, and 17th at Market Hall in Dallas.
KNON thanks Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Buyer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERImaging.com.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Nine-time gold Olympic superstar Carl Lewis announced his candidacy for the New Jersey State Senate on Monday. Carl Lewis wants to get into politics. Lewis has been pretty quiet over the last decade, yet speculation about his sexual orientation has already come back just hours after his announcement. In past interviews, Carl has refused to say either way for which team he plays on, yet many claim that the perception of him being gay cost the Olympic champ many endorsement deals. And I think it has also, because back when he was really at the top, back in like the 84 Olympics, I think I saw him on maybe just a box of Wheaties and that's it. Yet here he was, one of the few people who picked up four gold medals in one Olympics. Same thing with Greg Louganis. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't see him on anything. So, but if he is serious about running, I mean, he's going to have to address it.
You know, Victory Fund always tells you, be honest about who
exactly.
you are, and then go on and talk about the issues.
Exactly.
We have Anise Parker.
From Anise Parker is the best example.
Here, last September, and boy, is she the expert at it.
Yeah.
Oh, not just her, but Joel Burns over in Fort Worth.
Right.
A lot of
from her.
Fairly high-profile people who are saying it's a part of me, but it's not all of me. Now let's talk about that bond issue.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, so... things seem to be going great for country music singer Shelley Wright. She just announced that she is engaged to her girlfriend, gay rights activist Lauren Blisser, and they've already set a date. They're going to get married on August 20th in Connecticut. Also, later this month, the premiere of a new documentary by Shelley called Wish Me Away. It tracks her over a three-year period when she's struggling on the decision to come out publicly and also to come out in Nashville. So that's going to be an interesting documentary. It is official, at least according to the MTV UK. The gays are most empowering LGBT song of the decade is Christina Aguilera's Beautiful. Christina topped the poll with 33%, beating out Lady Gaga's anthem Born This Way and Katy Perry's Firework, which was dedicated to gay teen suicide hotline, the Trevor Project. Now, the video for Beautiful was considered somewhat groundbreaking back in 2003 as it featured a gay couple kissing and holding hands in public. It's a great song. Great song. And last, America's first drag superstar RuPaul says Annette Bening was robbed of an Academy Award this year for her performance as a lesbian mother in the movie The Kids Are All Right. And I kind of agree.
I agree. For Annette Bening in every category.
I thought she would have won. I mean,
actor even. I was rooting for her in every
in
category.
Everything.
I'm telling you,
best cinematography.
Everything. I mean, Natalie Portman was great, and I was fine with her getting it, but I thought Annette Bening kind of edged her out.
Going in.
RuPaul's comments came in the midst of an interview with New York Magazine, where he says that he knows his show will never be considered for Emmy consideration because it's too risky. I don't think so. Of course, we're talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. He said, you know, I know it's about politics, and I understand that. He goes, but I hope Annette Bening understands it also, because she should be so angry right now. She was bleeped robbed. And you know what? I've been around. I've been doing this for 29 years. Whether I won Best Afro or not, I prevailed. Love, RuPaul.
And that is this week's entertainment report.
Well, speaking of, did you see the list in D Magazine this week? 52 things, must-dos in Dallas.
You know, I did, yes. And it's interesting that it included a number of things in the gay community.
It did, one of which is get lost or stand out in the crowd at Cedar Springs on Halloween.
Well, and for years, I mean, the Halloween celebration on Cedar Springs has been the biggest Halloween party in the city.
Oh, it's a must-do. You're not going to get better costumes.
Right.
To be sure, one of the others was to get fake boobs. And I'm not going to do it. Might do these 51 other things.
Own.
Happy with mine, to be sure. So, good stuff.
Yeah. This Friday is National Day of Silence. Kind of snuck up on us a little bit. National Day of Silence is a day when students will put tape over their mouths, just an X of tape, and not speak during the day during school. You would think it would be an event that teachers would love because everybody is quiet that day. And different reactions to it in different schools. Some schools, just that reaction, oh, the kids aren't going to speak today. Wonderful. And then in other schools, it's how dare you be so disobedient as to not make noise in class. How long has this been going on? Do you know?
Oh, an awfully long time. I know I've been to a lot of Break the Silence events that are held on Friday evenings after the day is concluded to people share their experiences during the day. And increasingly over the years, we've seen more and more non-GLBT students participating. Which has been
interesting. As a matter of support, and what it is in favor of, what it's commemorating, is bullying in schools. Which it's interesting. This has been going on talking about bullying for a number of years, but really, it was this past year that bullying just came to the forefront.
Because people were dying.
They were before too, but there was such a cluster of them where their parents were outraged. The parents were absolutely outraged, like Amy and David Truong in Houston, whose son, Asher Brown, killed himself. I mean, that one is just such a heartbreaking story, but here's a story of the parents that tried to do something. And I guess that's kind of why it became so nationally prominent this year, because it was the parents of the kids who were so upset but didn't just mourn the loss of their child, they had tried to do something themselves.
Well, and I think one of the reasons it's really gotten a lot of attention recently, especially those who've died, is, you know, 6, 8, 10 years ago when doing Day of Silence, you didn't really have the social media in the way that you have it today. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have the family cell phone plans where every little kid has a phone
right. And
has the ability to text and that sort of thing. And so the cyberbullying really has taken off in recent years, mm-hmm. and which has just, expounded the problem.
You know, in Asher's case, though, it was good old-fashioned, traditional bullying. And Amy and David, his parents, called the school. They went to the school. They emailed the school. The school said, oh, we never heard from anybody. Finally, weeks and weeks later, the school admitted, well, we did hear from them a few times, and we probably did what we could. Although the school also was, the year before, there was a nationally known bullying incident that happened at that school, something that got out into the news. And that was a kid who said, a group of kids has told me they're going to beat me up, and he told the principal. The principal did nothing, so he went to the assistant principal. Would you say that's a good kid who did what he's supposed to
do? Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Go to the top and go through the chain of command.
He was on the school bus, and he told the school bus driver, please don't drop me off here. No, you have to get off the bus. And eight other kids or nine other kids got off the bus with him and started beating him. Only the main person, there were like eight were taunting and one was doing the actual beating. That one has been arrested, but he's underage, so records are sealed on that, what's happened to him. But they did prosecute, apparently. But the only thing that stopped these kids from killing him was that a neighbor saw what was going on, came out with a gun, and broke up the fight.
Wow.
With a gun. And J. Ron dropped out of school. He was 16, and he was afraid to go back to school after that. So at least he's not dead. I mean, that's the only good thing that can be said about that.
When you're sitting in English class and you just wonder whether you can make it after the bell to your math class, you're not thinking about English or math.
Right, right. But with Asher, when I say good old-fashioned bullying, David told me that Asher had come home from school the day before. Usually the family just sat in the family room together and they talked and watched TV together and they did lots of things together. He came home that day and just said he had a really bad day in school. He went up to his room by himself. He said, I just want to go and read. And he went up to his room, locked himself in his room, and the next day he was found in David's closet and he had shot himself. What friends in school told Amy and David had happened in school that day, and they didn't find this out till after the funeral, was that he was tripped down a flight of stairs and he had barely gotten himself up and some more kids came by and tripped him down the next flight of stairs.
Wow.
And I said, were there any bruises on him? And he said, well, nothing particularly that we noticed, but, you know, it might have been under his clothes. So, and they didn't find this out even until after the funeral, so who knows.
And the anti-bullying bill is now out of committee in Austin.
Did it pass?
Past committee. It's one of them is out. I don't know which one it is. The cyberbullying bill.
It was probably the main one that was being heard in Florence Shapiro's committee, and I'm really glad to hear that because I was down in Austin, doing some lobbying or following the kids from Youth First Texas who were doing some lobbying and telling their stories. Florence Shapiro, who's the senator from Plano. Is the chair of the committee that heard that bill, and the kids from Youth First Texas, it was a group of 10 kids that were going from office to office together, and three of them from Plano High School told their stories about what happened to them in Plano High School. One of them who was beaten up in the bathroom, and the principal said, well, you just brought it on yourself.
That's just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible that we have adults saying that to kids.
Mm-hmm.
And justifying, basically, attempting to justify what others have done to them.
Right.
That's amazing.
Because they don't want to do anything about it. You know, and these are kids who, these 10, actually some of them had tried to commit suicide. They're not going to do that anymore. They found something better to do, and that's to talk to legislators. And they're doing it. And good for them. I am so proud of those kids. Anyway, this Friday is National Day of Silence, which will probably have more meaning this year than ever because of all these bullying cases that have gone on. PFOX, which is, I don't even know what that stands for, do you?
Oh, I have it in another story, actually. It is Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays.
Oh, okay. What they're saying is, we invite schools to distribute our ex-gay brochures year-round, but this Friday is especially important because it's considered a day of silence by homosexual school clubs. This means that members of gay student clubs and their allies will purposely remain silent all day in school to protest intolerance against homosexuals and cross-dressers. Because homosexual activists try to censor the ex-gay point of view, PFOX asks students to distribute ex-gay literature to their friends in support of equality for the ex-gay community. The Day of Silence enables students to distribute ex-gay literature without harassment, since opponents are obligated to remain silent that day. So in other words, while you gay kids are keeping your mouths shut, we're going to come in with our literature and we're going to talk up a storm.
And I say go ahead. Right. You know, when I always say let the bigots show themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Let them talk and talk loud and talk continuously.
And we'll see if that has any effect. This is coming from this national group. I don't know that PFOX has organized particularly in schools, but I'm assuming they'll get their literature out through some church groups that have a stake in raising money by making sure the kids kill themselves somehow.
Must be. Exodus, in fact, the group that used to really push the opposing Day of Truth, I think they called it, abandoned it last year because they said they were actually contributing to bullying against GLBT kids, and they didn't want it. That was not their purpose, and they were no longer going to participate in that. And so it's interesting that others grab the issue and the event, and you know are going to be very, very loud about it. I think that's a good thing because I think most people, your average American, looks upon that and says, "That's not me. I'm not part of that." And the more they can see that around them, the more they disassociate themselves with it.
Which is good. Them distributing this literature, it depends on the school, but there are a number of schools that don't tolerate any form of bigotry, any form of bullying, any form of harassment, zero tolerance policy. And I know that North Dallas High School, right here in Oak Lawn, downtown, the Booker T, the Magnet High School, no tolerance for anything like that. It would be interesting to see if they try to get into those schools and do this. Chances are not. Chances are we're talking about a school like, and I'll call them right out, Plano High School, where a principal would tell one of these kids who's telling him I was beaten up in the bathroom, who told the kid you brought it on yourself. So
right.
Chances are that's where it'll happen. But schools like that also do have active GSAs, gay straight alliances. And I'm just wondering how much they're going to put up with this kind of nonsense, you know, about the ex-gay stuff, which we know doesn't work. You know, we know that all this therapy, like when we had Casey and Larry on a few weeks ago, and they were talking about having gone through 6 months of therapy in the most rabidly homophobic group that in the country that performs this. None of the therapists were actual therapists. None of the rules or anything that they had to follow in any way addressed any sort of changing their sexual orientation. It was strictly, you do something, you know, you think about somebody from your own sex, okay, here's how we're going to punish you. So it was aversion therapy,
basically yeah.
without using shock therapy. You know, and it's almost too bad that they didn't use some of that because they could have been put out of business for ridiculous medical technique, using illegal medical techniques. We need to take a break. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here with Patty Fink. Laurent had to run off to work a little bit early today. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM. We'll be back with more right after this.
Do you need free help with your taxes? I'm State Senator Royce West to tell you about United Way's free tax preparation services. IRS-certified tax preparers will ensure individuals or families who earned less than $50,000 last year receive the highest refund possible. Sites open through April in convenient locations. They're open days, evenings, and weekends. To locate the free United Way tax preparation site near you, simply dial 211. Thank you.
Small business owners, KNON has partnered with CBeyond, an IT services and communication provider offering local and long-distance calling, conferencing, high-speed internet, mobile, BlackBerry, broadband, laptop access, voicemail, email, web hosting, fax to email, data backup, cloud servers, and more. KNON thanks CBeyond for all of these support services. CBeyond donates services to KNON based on referrals. For more information, the email address is knon@cbeyond.net. That's knon@cbeyond.net.
Offshore's next door, 9660 Audalia Road, Suite 305 in Dallas, at the southeast corner of the intersection of Walnut Hill Lane and Audalia, is open Monday through Friday from 3:30 until 10-ish, Saturdays from 5 p.m. till 10 or later, serving appetizers, sandwich baskets, including salmon BLTs and po' boys of all types, entrees including jambalaya, blackened ribeyes, Cajun pasta, crawfish etouffee, and more. Drunken Sailor's hours are 3:30 till 7, Monday through Friday. Inside and patio dining is available. For more information, 214-503-1012 or offshoresnextdoor.com. That's Offshore's Next Door at the southeast corner of the intersection of Walnut Hill Lane and Audalia in Dallas.
Dallas Voice, a Texas LGBT media company, has covered news, entertainment, culture, and opinion in the North Texas LGBT community for more than 25 years. Every week, Dallas Voice reaches more than 45,000 North Texas LGBT readers in print. DallasVoice.com informs more than 170,000 visitors every month, with breaking news appearing throughout the day, every day in the Instant Tea blog. Dallas Voice is proud to support KNON Community Radio.
Coming to the Bone this Sunday, April 17th, it's KNON Barbecue and Blues Benefit Event starring Texas Slim with special guest Captain Jack. This is an early event with the doors at 5 p.m. and the music beginning at 6. Mama Faye's Barbecue and home-cooked food will be in the house, serving up their delicious chopped brisket sandwiches, barbecue chicken, potato salad, and famous barbecue beans. DJ Louisiana Red will be throwing down some blues on the roof. Advance tickets are only $8 and are available at KNON.org, The Bone, Bill's Records, and Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. What a way to wind down a weekend with KNON, Texas Slim, Captain Jack, and Louisiana Red. Bone is located at 2724 Elm Street in Deep Ellum. Just look for the big KNON painted on the side of the building. That's Texas Slim and Captain Jack with DJ Louisiana Red and Mama Faye's Barbecue and Home Cooked Food this Sunday, April 17th at The Bone. See you there.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink. We're just talking a little bit about the news. One story that we both love is the gay caveman story.
Yeah, that's been interesting. And I'm not really sure, because there's been this discovery near Prague, and yet some other scientists are speaking out about how it's not true. And I see some of their points, and I'm not an anthropologist. I do watch Bones, but I'm not an anthropologist,
not
so I don't
an
know.
Anthropology show.
But apparently there's been a discovery of an early gay man, they're speculating, gay or transgendered, around 2900 to 2500 BC, just outside Prague. And, you know, some of the folks who are saying this is not true are saying that that's not even caveman. You can't technically call them a caveman
right,
era.
Originally they were saying 10,000 years old, but now they're saying 5.
Right, well, this was saying 2900 to 2500 BC.
Which is about 5,000 years
right.
ago. Yeah.
And then really what the story is about is they found the remains of a human being they've identified as male, who is buried in the style at the time that a female was buried, with certain objects in the facing certain way, certain objects in the grave with him,
and buried with other females.
Right. So they're just speculating that may be because that person was gay or transgendered. Could also be because it's some sort of form of humiliation. But as we had this discussion earlier, if you really wanted to humiliate someone, I guess in death, you wouldn't bury them at all, or you know.
Right. It almost seems like a form of respect, but who knows what the thinking was then? There's no way.
Exactly.
To really know.
And who knows what this means? But it's interesting that it's out in the news, and and folks are discussing this. I would love to know what it means, but again, don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know about that.
Speaking of not knowing what it means, that's one of my segues. There's a man, his name is Louis J. Marinelli. He was one of the organizers of last year's National Organization for Marriage Tour, which...
NOM
did a tour, and it was a bus tour, and they went to stops and had tens of people attend. And
tens of people.
Well, it was fewer than 100 in most locations. It was an anti-same-sex marriage bus tour that they were doing to drum up support. Well, his name is Louis Marinelli. He's a conservative Republican, and he said, "My name is Louis Marinelli, a conservative Republican, and I now support full civil marriage equality." Isn't that interesting that one of the organizers of this hate group, and they were actually investigated by the Southern Poverty Law Center for being a hate group, and they didn't quite make the cut.
Although others did.
Others did.
Family Research Council and others.
But this one didn't quite hit that bar. They might this year when they're reinvestigated. But he was one of the organizers. All of a sudden now he's for civil marriage. I mean, to me, what does that say? To me, that says, okay, so this person who has been denying that he's gay is now in the process of coming out.
Oh, it doesn't tell me that.
Oh, okay, why not?
Oh, it doesn't. I don't assume that. I think a lot of homophobia is because an effort to suppress. I mean, Shelley Wright, we were just talking about her earlier in the Entertainment Report,
mm-hmm.
was talking about, you know, she participated in that lashing out at others in order to make it deflect attention off of her possibly mm-hmm. being gay because she was gay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is some of that out there, but I don't necessarily believe that. I don't know anything further about him. But
you know, I'm trying to figure out, though, why would he have this? You know, Maggie Gallagher has all kinds of baggage and crazy people in her family and all kinds of stuff like that that's gone on. If this guy isn't gay, who in his family was? What is the hatred? Why does he care enough about what other people do? You know, I have enough trouble worrying about what I do.
Well, I think, you know, when they're clearly losing that argument, if you know, he's gone to the other side of the argument, which is sort of about a story I brought this week about social conservatives finding the need, and they're losing this quote war. They're looking for ways to defeat the gays by inventing new words.
And they need to do that because every time they come up with a new argument, it becomes more and more ludicrous, and so they have to come up with another new argument. So they throw out an argument, they lose on that one, and they have been. There isn't a single one where they've won.
It's a sign of desperation, in my view.
So what are they doing?
The Awakening 2011, which was a gathering of religious conservatives, social conservatives, met at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And one of the efforts that they took upon themselves was to look for ways and new branding, rebranding their argument by coming up with new names for gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And new ways to refer to gay people so that they could then, you know, get a little traction on their argument.
What are some of the new things that were called?
Well, they don't want to use the word gay. In fact, Ryan Sorba, who's chair of the Young Conservatives of California, said the word gay, quote, is a left-wing sociopolitical construct designed to create grounds for fundamental rights based upon whimsical, capricious desires. Gay identity does not exist, he says. So now they're looking for this rebranding. And what they want to do is replace the word gay with things like same-sex attraction, same-sex intercourse, sodomy. We've heard that one many times, right? And this one, unnatural vice, which begs the question, what is a natural vice? I'm not quite sure.
Or a Miami vice.
Right. And then another one they wanted to describe gays as anti-Christian. So that would be another argument they could build upon.
And what if you aren't Christian?
I have no idea. I have no idea what they're seeking here. Except that they're losing the argument overwhelmingly over the many years, and polls and studies show year after year that the tide is against them. And so at the Awakening Conference, they're coming up with these new terms. So, again, speaking of PFOX, they were knee-deep in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I want to get back to this Marinelli creep. And just because he's on our side doesn't mean that I suddenly like him. I have a whole bunch of gay people that that I have a problem with. Take that, that I am a gay American New Jersey governor. Creep. Sorry. But this guy who suddenly is for same-sex marriage, how do you flip on an issue like that so completely where you're the one of the leaders in the country fighting against same-sex marriage, going to, oh, now I'm suddenly for it. Well, why should I listen to you now? Why does this point of view have any more relevance than your point of view before? Sounds like there's something going on with you.
Well, I'm sure there's a great deal more to the story. We just don't know it.
Yeah.
Because a person doesn't just flip their position. You know, why would people in who were, you know, slave owners in the Civil War suddenly say that what I did was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Or people, you know, all the way through the Civil Rights Movement in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and earlier and after, you know, suddenly get the light, you know, have their own awakening, so to speak.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, he has this sudden flip of where he stands on it. And that's not to say somebody who, you know, polling is consistently showing that more and more people are favoring same-sex marriage. There was a poll that came out this week. It was released by, the news report I have says, by the nonpartisan Siena Research Institute. Siena College is in Albany, New York. The number one rival of my school. And
you're from Albany.
Yeah. Siena College, they're calling it nonpartisan. It is, but Siena is a Catholic school, so it's not like it's my school, the left-wing liberal, you know, extremist Albany State University. It's a Catholic school. And so their polling shows that 58% of New Yorkers, which is the largest percentage ever, want lawmakers to pass a marriage equality bill. It's not just 58% are now not against. They want this bill to pass, 58%. So the support is growing. And when I'm talking about Marinelli, how can he just flip sides? And obviously lots of people have changed sides. That's different. I'm talking about somebody who was leading a bus tour across the country to campaign against. And he suddenly, you know, the other people who changed, They weren't real strong in the against position, and now they're in the for position.
Well, I think
that's completely different.
I think that's a great thing then. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's come to his senses and said, you know, human beings are equal and they should be treated equally, then I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I guess. I'd rather have him flip to this side. I'm suspicious of him.
But he is flipped to this side.
Right.
So, I mean, so that's, how much do you want here?
That's good. No, you're right. Well, how much do I want? I want him to shut up. That's basically.
Yeah, but if he can bring along other people who used to follow him and say, hey, why
are you against
this? You've shaken
this?
My yeah. faith in what I believe,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I guess. I guess what I'm really saying is this is not somebody I'm going to ever trust. he might be on our side right now. What's to stop him from flipping to the other side again?
Well, we were just talking about the Awakening 2011 at Liberty University this past week. And CNN had an interesting analysis of the Civil War, you know, with the 150th anniversary of the Civil War this week. And this harkens back to issues that were being fought then and talked about heavily and argued over, you know, the kitchen table sort of thing. And they're still going on today. And this is very interesting to me. If you think the culture wars are heated now, check out mid-19th century America. The Civil War took place during a period of pervasive piety when both North and South demonized one another with self-righteous biblical language, and they called it that time the Second Great Awakening, when there was this sort of national religious revival. Reform movements spread across the country. Thousands of Americans repented of their sins at frontier campfire meetings and readied themselves for the Second Coming, and they got war instead. But in so doing, they looked at the political process and determined that they were using things like evil and sinner, evildoer and sinner, to characterize their opponents, which is something that we see every day now.
Right.
We're in 2011. So this was the Second Great Awakening back in the mid-19th century.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday was the 150th anniversary of the start of the war. You know, of all the facts that I've heard leading up to the Civil War or leading up to the anniversary of the war. The one that I didn't know before, I think is just a real interesting fact, that after South Carolina voted to secede from the Union, the number two place that voted on whether or not to secede was New York City.
Wow.
New York City took a vote because their economy was so tied with South Carolina and other southern states. They grew the cotton. The cotton was then shipped up to New York, and in New York it was shipped overseas. So that they were, New York was seriously considering allying itself with the South, and obviously didn't happen. They voted no and stayed in the Union. But I never knew that little fact, that it wasn't just the South that was considering leaving. So one other little tidbit that I have is Brittany Novotny, who ran against Sally Kern, who's in the Oklahoma State Legislature. Novotny has now been elected as the president of the Young Democrats of Oklahoma.
And very interesting.
She is the first transgender person to head a Young Democrats organization anywhere in the country.
That's fantastic.
You know, and it's interesting that it happened in Oklahoma. So not the place that you'd expect something like that to happen. Have anything else just to wrap us up?
No, not
DGLA
really.
DGLA endorsements coming out when for the city council?
Later this week.
Later this week we can expect to see something on those. We're just about out of time. We'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly. Our guest next week is an L.A. Plastic surgeon to the stars.
Interesting.
It should be an odd show for us, but we're good at odd. We'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly. See you then. And this is where Thomas comes in and disavows any knowledge of our existence.
Listening to the KNON Morning Line, we'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM.